Well, we're glad that you're here. I've had a message that's been burning in my heart. I have it prepared since before Africa, and I still can't teach it. God just won't let me. I was all set to go, and then He changed things. So I don't know why. I guess that what I'm going to be teaching and preaching today is going to lead up to that one that I've had in my heart to preach. But let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew 23, if you would. I'm going to preach to you today that the title of this is The Key to Greatness. The Key to Greatness. If you're taking notes and want to make a title, The Key to Greatness. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 23, verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. What do you think the key to greatness is? Humility. That's right. Humility is the key to greatness. And that's what we're going to minister to you today. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that you will anoint me to give this word with clarity, with understanding, and that you will anoint the congregation to receive, Father God, that every one of us would have ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, that it would change us, that we would understand what humility is and what it is not, Father God. But that the bottom line is that we are children of yours, the Most High God. So, Father, we give you praise for your word going forth. I thank you, Lord God, that it will change every one of us, that we will go out different than when we came in. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now turn in your Bibles to Matthew 18, just a few pages to the left. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? That's an explanation of greatness. So humility is not something that the world practices a lot today. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You know, our culture is attracted to fame. It's attracted to wealth. It's attracted to the bigger the better. It's attracted to all of those things. It's attracted to power. That's what our society, that's what the world sees today. So humility is not something that is really even understood. You know, the bigger the car, the bigger the house, the more power you have, then that's good. You know, that is called pride. And we're going to talk a little bit about pride. But you know, it's the Bible said that if you would come as a little child, as children, first of all, it says you have to be converted. And then become as little children. And whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the key to greatness is humility. It's not about fame. It's not about wealth. It's not about power. That's the world standards. So see, it says you have to be converted. We have to change our thinking. We can't think like the world thinks, because that's what the world thinks about. You know, you are something if you drive a big fancy car. You are something if you live in a big house. You are something if you have on million-dollar clothes. You are something if you have a great big bank account, a great big checking account in the bank. That's what the world sees as success. But what does the Bible say? He said to humble yourself as a little child, and then you will become great. You will become great. So what does he mean? Well, think about our children. What is a child like? They're unpretentious. They don't think they're important. They're just a little kid. They're unassuming. They don't assume that they're going to get anything. They just expect that they'll be taken care of. They're not trying to step on somebody else to get to the top. They're unassuming. They can be mad at you one time because you spanked them, and then 5 minutes later they're coming, they're loving you. They're quick to forgive. It doesn't matter what they have. They'd be just as happy sleeping on the floor as they would in their crib. A little child. They don't have to have the fanciest and newest clothes. Half the times they just put on something, wouldn't even match. Come, just as a little child. Not really caring what anybody else thinks about me. You know, we know that our children are like that because they'll throw a fit in front of the President of the United States just as easy as they would in front of Grandma and Grandpa. You know? They don't care. They don't know. So what? He's the President of the United States. Big deal. I need to throw a fit. So they throw it. They're just who they are. Children are just who they are. So that's what it means to come as a little child. To come with who we are. Well, who are we? We are children of the Most High God. We are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Some of the qualities of a child that you see, what you see is what you get with the child. They don't try to impress anyone. They're not out for power. They're not out for fame. They're not out for wealth. They're just not trying to impress anyone. You know, they don't even try to impress mommy and daddy. They are just who they are. That's what a child is. They don't have to put on airs to impress anybody. They don't have to say, oh, I'm having dinner. With the pastor today. Or I'm having dinner with this one, with the mayor of the city. No, it doesn't matter to them. And while I'm on that, you know, names. We can get proudful and name-dropping. I had lunch with so-and-so. You know, some of these, and I'm not coming against big ministries because I love them. I'd like to go to some more of their meetings sometimes. But sometimes, oh, well, I shook hands with Oral Roberts. Well, big deal. He's just a man. I want to tell you something. Mark Hankins has been in our house and spent several days and slept in our guest bedroom. But I haven't put sacred on the door of that bedroom. Why? Because Mark Hankins is just a man. Saved by the grace of God. Jesse Duplantis has ridden in our little 91 Honda that Brother Willie and Marlene bought. Oh, but I didn't bronze plate that car because Jesse Duplantis sat in it. He's just a man. So see, sometimes we can get lifted up in pride because of maybe who we know. Well, you know what? We can be humble and lifted up in pride at the same time because of who we know. Hallelujah. We are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our everything. So, you know, when you come and say to me, oh, well, you know, I've had a phone call or I was in this meeting and met so-and-so. Whoop-de-doo-dah. That doesn't impress me. So don't think that it does, because it doesn't. In fact, it kind of turns me off. They're just people. And while they're gifted of God and we're very grateful for them, we don't need to get lifted up in pride because of those people that we know. Because they're seen on TV or because they're in this camp meeting and they minister with this one or they minister with that one. I want to tell you something. Mark Hankins is a good friend of ours. And while I so appreciate Mark and Trina, the first time I ever met Mark Hankins, you know what he was doing? He was walking up a Days Inn staircase to the second floor with a McDonald's bag in his hand. And I told Pastor, I said, that's Mark. And we were going to a meeting where his father-in-law, Brother Bierman, had been pastor for 25 years, and they were honoring Brother Bierman. And so we were in Burlington, Colorado. And so Pastor looked, and he said, are you Mark Hankins? He said, yes, I am. And Pastor said, well, I'm Gary Don Newman. And he said, well, you know what? I've heard about you, Pastor Newman. He said, I've heard about you from my mother and father-in-law. And he said, I'll see you at the meeting tonight. You know, that little beginning on the stairwell there of the Days Inn in Burlington, Colorado, started a relationship. And then Mark has been in our church. You know, he's a powerful man of God, and I appreciate him. But you know what? Ooh, I got a personal letter from him at Christmas with a check in it. Ooh. Aren't I special? No. Mark was just being a blessing to me. Wrote a letter telling me how much he missed Pastor, but he wanted me to have a good Christmas, so he and Trina just sent me a little love offering for me to go shopping with. See, I appreciate him. But that letter is not bronze. It's not framed on my wall in the office or in the living room so everybody can see it. He's a man saved by the grace of God. no different than you, no different than myself. He is just a man that has humbled himself and obeyed the call of God on his life and humbled himself and let God raise him up. And he goes now into all the world and he preaches with the biggest of the biggest. And the world can be impressed by that. But we as Christians don't have to be. Amen? He simply heard and obeyed God. And I don't say that to y'all to lift me up because really, I mean, like I said, he's good old Mark. And while I respect the office that he's in, he's still just a man. He's still just a man. Amen? Well, hallelujah. We'll get back here on my notes. So little children don't have to impress anyone. They are just who they are. You know, and if you will look, we don't have to impress anyone. We don't have to pretend to be someone because you know what? We are someone. We don't have to impress somebody with who we are because we know who we are. We're children of God. You can't get any better than that. You can't get any better than being children of God. So you don't have to pretend. You don't have to put on airs. You don't have to pretend something that you are not because you are something. You are somebody in the kingdom of God because we serve a great big God. And He is our Lord. He is our Savior. So we can hold our head high and be proud of the fact that we're children of the Most High God. Amen? Not like the world believes. But we can be proud of the fact and humbled at the same time that we're children of God. Hallelujah. The only way to live a life of humility is to totally depend on God. And to know who we are in Him. You know, the Bible says that He's made us the head and not the tail. We're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We can do all things. Oh, we can do all things through Him. Because He strengthens us. See, in and of ourselves, we're nothing. And we can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible. And we can do all things through Him because of who He is. Because He strengthens us. Amen? Not of ourselves. Jesus knew who He was. Who was He? He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. But He wasn't lifted up and high and mighty about that. He could have gone about the villages saying, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of the living God. But you know what? He loved the beggar. He loved the poor just as He loved anybody else. Because He knew who He was. He knew who He was. And He was very, very humble. His confidence, Jesus' power, His fame was all wrapped up in one thing. And that one thing was faith in a God that loved Him. That's who His identity was. It was wrapped up in that one thing. Faith in a loving God. That's what we need to be identified with. I don't need to be known as, oh, that's that church that Mark Hankins came and stayed with them in their house. Doesn't impress me. And it shouldn't impress others. Amen. That wasn't even at our request. It was at his. I'll just give you a little more of the story. We checked him into the hotel and he called one day and he said, Lenore, can I come stay with y'all? And I said, you want to stay with us? He said, yeah, I just like to hang out. And I said, well, that's fine. So we checked him out of the hotel and he moved with us. And for a while I thought he was moving in with us. So we had a great time of fellowship. He did his thing while we worked and we fellowship at night. And he and Pastor sat in the hot tub. It was just a divine relationship. And I found out after we left Houston that Mark was getting ready to fly to Houston to see Pastor. But he called, I guess he probably called David Briggs or somebody and found out that we'd already left to come home back to Garden City. But he called during that time. See, he's just a man. Just a man. His identity is found in Christ. Just like Jesus. His identity was found in the faith of a loving God who was very humble. Jesus recognized people for who they were. He didn't bypass the beggar. He didn't bypass the blind man. He didn't bypass the poor. No, He gave unto them. He gave unto them. And that's what we need to do. You know, when we were in Africa, I told the ladies, I sat back and watched them and how they just got right in there. You know, I've spoken to Gilbert about Rosie, how she was a natural. She just got right in there, loved those people from the get-go. Everyone did. All of them did. But I said, the way you are treating these people here, go back and do the same to the people of Garden City. Now, why is it easy for us to act that way when we're somewhere else? Why is it easy for us to go to a camp meeting and hoop and holler and run around the building and praise God and glory to God and shout, and then we come here and, oh, we're so pious and holy? See, it shouldn't be any different. Shouldn't be any different. Because we need to be wrapped up in who we are, in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus was able to place the needs of others above his own. And it was a joy for him to do so. It wasn't a drudgery. It was a joy for him to minister to those. So what about our humility? What about our humility? Like I said, we don't have to pretend to be something that we're not. We don't have to prove our worth to ourselves or to anybody else, because we know who we belong to. We know in whom we have believed. Amen? Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen? Humility, number one, will recognize the gift that has been given by God to you, and you will be thankful. That's what humility will do. A humble servant of the Lord Jesus will recognize the gift of God in us, and we will be thankful. We won't be puffed up. There's a difference. You know, when you're puffed up, you're full of pride. I have a little story here. This reporter came and interviewed a very successful rancher. And he asked the rancher, he said, so, what is the reason for your success? He was expecting some big thing. And the rancher said, well, my success has been dependent on 50% good weather, 50% good luck, and the rest, brains. Now, that's a simple little illustration. It's not very spiritual, but it's true. Thankful for the weather. Thankful for the luck or the blessing that he had, and the rest, hey, just whatever I could do. Amen? The rest, brains. He was very humble. It wasn't anything he had done. And our successes is not anything that we have done, but it's all because of him. And we need to recognize that. We don't need to be puffed up in pride. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 11. It talks about pride, and I preached on pride a long time ago. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then, cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. We could say with the humble, with humility, is wisdom. So when we're humble, then wisdom will come. Amen? We're nothing without Jesus. We can do nothing without him. He is our all in all. He is our everything. John 15, 5. Turn there. John 15, 5. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For what? Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing, he says. So apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. Apart from Jesus, we are nothing. We need to recognize from whence our help comes. Amen? And not get puffed up. I know a lot of times, even in ministry or in your job, oh, look what I've done. Well, you know, there's not a self-made man. That wisdom has to come from somewhere, and it comes from above. He is our wisdom. And the Bible says in James that if any of you lack wisdom, to ask, and he will give it to us liberally, and he upbraids not. He doesn't keep it from us. That's why when we pray for people that are having surgeries, we pray for wisdom for the doctors. Because they didn't learn everything they learned in medical school. I know, I've got a doctor in our family. And he depends on wisdom from God to help him. Because medical school can't teach you everything. You know, I don't have a manual for being a pastor. I've told somebody, if they find one, buy it for me. I'll reimburse you. You know, you have to depend on the wisdom from God. You have to hear his voice. And you have to flow with him. You have to do what he's asked. I would have preached a sermon a long time ago before we ever went to Africa on what I wanted to preach. I've got it ready. I've redone it 3 or 4 times. Maybe that's why I couldn't preach it, because it really wasn't complete. But he won't let me preach it yet. Oh, wow, it must be a powerful sermon. You know what? It's just a sermon that I wanted to preach. And I think it'll fit into this body. But evidently, there was some groundwork that needed to be laid first. So I just had to humble myself and say, okay, this is what I want to preach, but Lord, this is not what you wanted. And so then he's given me wisdom. See, when you humble yourself, then that wisdom will come. Nobody is a self-made man. No ministry is a self-made ministry. No business is a self-made business. Every one of you in your jobs, if you think you have to... You have to depend on the wisdom from God to do what you need to do. Amen? Amen. That's called humility. So we can't let pride come in, because we're not anything without him. And we need to so be in his word and pray and seek his face that we hear his voice and make sure it's his voice and not our own. And not that of a stranger. Now, sometimes we've all stepped out there and done things, and there is an enemy out there that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But we need to make sure in this hour that we have heard his voice. Now, many years ago, we met Paul Yonggi Cho. I guess he still has the largest church in the world. Does he? Is his church still the largest in the world? Over 1 million? Can you imagine over 1 million members? Wow, how would you like to pastor that one? We met him one time, and he's a very humble, very, very meek man. And someone asked him, what is the success to your ministry? Do you know what he said? I listen and obey. Prayer. He listens and then he obeys. Wow, that's a big revelation. The biggest ministry in the world, over 1 million people, he listens and he obeys. I tried to find my notes last night, and I couldn't find them, but I will, and I'll report to you. He said that time that we were with him, we were at a missions conference somewhere in Virginia, Richmond, I think. And he said before he ever goes into the office in the morning, I don't know if it was 3 hours or 5 hours that he prays, before he ever goes into the office. So when he gets into the office, then he has the mind of God already. Oh, wow. How many of us are willing to do that? See, there's a price to pay to hear the voice of God. I remember Mary Fran. Many of you know Mary Fran. She's a friend of ours and in our church. And when she learned to move with the Holy Ghost, she would drop her children off at school, and then she would go to her church. And her pastor put her down in the basement and said, you stay down here with God, and then we'll have lunch together. And then she would go back down and spend time with God and pray and seek his face. And then she would go pick her children up. So for 8 hours every day, 5 days a week anyway, for what, 2 or 3 weeks? No, 3 years. She did that before she ever stepped out into ministry. Spending time, listening and obeying. We're all so busy. Wow, how could I do that? I've got to go swimming. How could I do that? The Cowboys are playing Monday night. How could I do that? We've got to do this. We've got to do that. You know, I think it's coming to a point, saints, and the time that we're living in and in the body of Christ, we're going to have to spend more time in the presence of God to hear His voice, to listen and obey. And then things will happen in the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. John 8:28. We're going backwards. I looked at this last night and I thought, well, we are kind of going backwards, but there's a purpose to that. John 8, verse 28. And then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. See, Jesus didn't just do what He wanted to do. Everybody thinks, oh, well, He just did what He wanted to do. No, He listened to the Father. He didn't do anything that His Father didn't tell Him to do.
Right.
And that's what we should do. We should not do anything that Jesus doesn't tell us to do. That's why we've got to spend time in His presence. That's why we have to pray. That's why we have to seek His face. That's why we should give Him the first fruits of our day. That's why we need to be in church and assemble ourselves together. That's why we need to get with people that are of like faith.
Amen.
And fellowship around the things of God, because iron sharpens iron.
That's right. Amen.
That's why we need someone to keep us accountable.
Amen.
So that we don't get off in some la-la land and do some goofy, silly thing and get in a ditch on this side or that side. No, we have to stay right in the straight and narrow.
Amen.
Where God wants us. And that's when we're able to hear His voice. We can't allow the cares of the world to come in. Because I can tell you, I promise you, the thing that I fight for the most is time in the Word. Because everybody wants some of you. And I'm not saying that I'm not willing to give that, but there comes a time. I told Diana the other day, I said, no. Thursday is out. I have to have time to prepare and study. That's why I enjoy coming down here on Saturdays, because, hey, we don't answer the phone. The phone rings. If you want to call Saturday, hey, you'll just get an answering machine, because I'm not going to answer it. Amen?
Amen?
You have to have that time. You have to purpose in your heart, and the devil will see to it that there will be every distraction in the world that comes to you. And when you have heard the voice of God and you step out on that, you can bet on it that the devil will try to stop you. He will try to discourage you. He'll try to get you to throw in the towel and say, I quit. This doesn't work. It's not worth it. And then you'll begin to question yourself. Have I heard from God or have I not? I want to tell you something. When you have heard from God, you stand your ground. You look the devil square in the face and you stand your ground. But you better know that you've heard from God.
Amen.
Amen? You better know that you've heard from God. And if you have heard from God and you stand your ground, then He's going to move heaven and earth to get whatever you're believing God for to come to pass. Amen? He will do just that. That's the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah. John 5. 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. This is Jesus talking. As I hear, I judge. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. See, Jesus did nothing. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because He didn't seek His own will, but the Father who sent Him. And that is a part of humility. We don't seek our own will, but we seek the One who has given us life. Amen? We seek the Father. We seek Him. We can do nothing without Him. We need to be thankful for the gifts. We need to be thankful that we have a word that we can get into and that we can grow and learn. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that when we cry out to Him, then He does speak to us. That we do hear His voice. And we need to be thankful for that. Not puffed up because, oh, bless God, I heard from God. Well, whoop-de-doo. All the rest of us can hear from God too if we'll just seek Him. Amen. Don't get puffed up about it. Don't think that God just speaks to you and nobody else. He's spoken to mankind all of these years. That's why we have a Word of Life church. It's because God spoke to a man of God that gave up an oil business that simply just stepped out and followed Him. Started with 20 people. Just a man. Humbled himself. Gave up the riches of the world to obey God. Listen and obey. Amen? Did the devil try to stop us? Oh, yeah. Second day. We could have thrown in the towel. Thought about it. Had a resignation written out years past because of the enemy. He's tried to stop us since day one. Oh, yeah. Many times. But you know, we heard from God. Build a church. Be evangelistic. Go into all the world. Keep missionaries on the field. So that's what we're endeavoring to do. Listen and obey. You're no different with your business. Whether you're a sunflower, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a custodian, you're all important. Listen and obey His voice. And you will see Him move heaven and earth for you. Oh, I know sometimes it looks dark. I've been in that tunnel. And everybody says, oh, just keep going, just keep going. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You say, yeah, right. Sometimes we think that, don't we? Yeah, there's really light. Well, how long is this tunnel? Well, you know what? We don't know. But there is light. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. So in the process, you just keep going on. I remember Oral Roberts said one time, when you're in the middle of hell, don't stop. When you're in the middle of hell and all hell has come against you, you don't stop in the middle of it. You just keep trudging forward with God, knowing that He is alongside you, knowing that He's a very present help in a time of need. Humble yourself and cry out to Him and hear His voice and then simply obey and know that He's not left you and He's not forsaken you. Amen? That's what you have to do. When you're in the middle of hell, don't stop. Keep going. Because there's light and there's life on the other side. Hallelujah. We need to be thankful for all He is to us. We need to be thankful for the relationships that we have. We need to be thankful for the teachers that teach our children. We need to be thankful. And when we're given those thanks, then we don't. Humility is not hanging your head and saying, oh, well, you know, don't thank me. No. Accept that thanks. That's not being puffed up. That's a part of what humility sometimes can be pride. We can be so humble about being humble that it's pride. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Sometimes we can be so humble about being humble that we get lifted up in pride.
Yeah.
No, God has given us wisdom. So thank God that you're in a place to teach. Thank God that you're in a place to go and preach the gospel in Honduras. Thank God that you're in a place where you can minister to the youth. Thank God that you're in a place, those teachers that are downstairs now giving of their time so that our children, thank them. Thank God that we have a nursery that our babies can go to. Those nursery workers don't need to hang their head and say, oh, it's just a nothing job. No, it is a something job. It's most important to the body of Christ. The ushers, you don't see them hanging their hands and say, oh, it's just nothing, I just take the offering. No! They need to say, praise God, I'm so glad that He put me in this place and position. See? There's a difference in that humility. So we need to be proud of where God has placed us. He has given us the wisdom. He's given us the strength to be in those positions. And so we need to accept that. Humility. We'll recognize that it's a gift from God and we'll be thankful. Amen? Amen. Don't ever take things for granted. Let's not ever take each other for granted. Don't ever take things Don't ever take the ministry. Don't ever take your workplace. Don't ever take your spouse. Don't ever take your children, your grandchildren, your relationships for granted. We need, like Brother Cole said, we need each other. I need what you have. You need what I have. You need what each other has. We need one another. Amen. Be thankful. And then let's humble ourselves enough to want to serve others. Yes. Now, I saw in Africa, our women were just serving. And I told them when we went, I said, now we're going to a third world country, but we're there to serve them. Well, you know what? They just went to serve us. So it's kind of, nope, I'm going to serve you. Nope, I'm going to serve you. Nope. You know, it wasn't all that noticeable, but they would grab our bags. And I told the ladies, when you get off the plane, there's probably going to be a lot of Africans there, and there wasn't because of the space. Catherine was there, and the driver to meet us. But any times we have gone, there's been like 20 or 25, they're just grabbing stuff, and I'm holding on. You know, oh no, this is my purse. But they were grabbing stuff. Well, I didn't know if they were with the ministry team or if they were just some African there at the airport, you know. So you have to be careful. But I remember, I felt like when I was in prayer one day before we went on the trip, that the Lord spoke to me to have a foot washing for the Africans. And I thought, Lord, I don't know if we can do that. So I emailed Catherine, and I understand the diseases, I understand all of that. So I thought, I know if we get to do this, it's going to be with impure water. If we have cuts or wounds on our hands, we could get a disease, we could die. So I thought, Lord, I don't want to be offensive in any way because they're such precious people. So I emailed Catherine and I said, I feel like the Lord has spoken to me to have a foot washing while we're in the Saturday group with the pastor's wives. And would that be possible? And if so, then would it be offensive if we wore latex gloves? I said, I don't want to offend anyone, but because of diseases, would that be offensive to you? I got an email back. She said, oh, no. She said it would be great. And she said, and because of hygiene, then we would want you to wear the latex gloves. And so you bring this, and I'll get the basins, and just plan on 12. Well, you know what? We washed 70 women's feet that day. And she told me when we got there, she said, I don't know how the Africans are going to do with this, because she said, they're kind of funny about that. I said, well, you know what? I'm kind of funny about it too, because it's a very humbling experience. It's a very humbling experience. Not so much to wash, but to have yours washed. So we got our gloves, we washed feet, and then they wanted to wash ours. You know what? They put on gloves. They put on the gloves, and they washed our feet. And when we left that day, Catherine said, Mama, Africans don't cry. She said they were crying. It was such a humbling experience that we from America, that they think have everything. We're all rich, we're all wealthy, we all live in big houses, all have all kinds of money. That's what they think. That we would come and want to wash an African. And when I got home, I was going to bring it, and I forgot it. I got a letter, an email from Catherine. She said, the people, the ladies are still talking about the foot washing and the teachings and the lotion that y'all gave them because their skin was so rough and calloused and cracked. And now they say their skin is soft. And she said, they love the foot washing. They said, nobody had ever washed their feet since they. Nobody had ever washed their feet since they were babies. Praise God. Listening and obeying help to change the heart of a people. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got lots more notes here. We need to humble ourselves and serve others. We're not too good. And we're the ones that are going to be blessed when we do that. You know, there's places and positions in this body that need filled. We need nursery workers. We need children's church ministers. We need youth leaders. We need all kinds of people
We just need to humble ourselves, get in there, and serve. Amen? Serving takes time. Takes time. It will require something of you. You know, for some, it's easy to give money. It's hard to give time. Serving will take time. And for everyone in here, would get plugged in somewhere, you would never have to even maybe serve except once every few months. You know, the children, the people that are in children's church, I so appreciate them. Sunday after Sunday, when they would like to be up here listening to the word, they're down ministering to our children, giving them the word. And you know what? They love it. But that's where they've been called to be. So I want to ask you, where can you serve? I want you to seek God and ask Him. Humble yourself. Hear His voice. And then step out and serve in that area where He tells you to serve. Not everybody's going to be up front. You know, I could give a rip if I'm up front. I never wanted to be up front. My place was out in the foyer hugging everybody. I just loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Still do. That's where I like to be. Now, when Pastor was here, I'd come in late, sit on the front row. Why? Because I was out hugging all the latecomers. And they came. I was proud to do so. Came down here yesterday. There were two vehicles here. Men mowing the yard. How many of you know who keeps our grounds? Raise your hand. A few of you. Most of you don't. Raise your hand if you knew that there's someone that comes either on Monday night or Tuesday night. See, I'm not even sure. A woman and a daughter cleans the bathrooms, sweeps the foyer, sweeps the halls so that we can have a clean building on Wednesday night. How many of you knew that? Oh, do I write them a check every 2 weeks? No. They just humbly serve. They don't get paid for it, but how I appreciate it. How I appreciate those that come and take care of the lawn. How I appreciate those that come and take care of the classrooms and the sanctuary. How many of you notice that those chairs are straight every single Sunday when you come in? Do you notice that? How many of you know that somebody does that every week? Just serving. Not expecting anything in return. Just serving the Lord through their humility. Thankful for the gift that God has given them. And just stepping out and serving somewhere. Amen? You know, I don't ever have to open the door on Sunday morning. I don't have to take my keys out and unlock it. Because the head usher is always here at 7:30 in the morning, making sure that we have lights, making sure that we have heat or air, making sure all the doors are unlocked, that everything is in order. 7:30? Oh, man, 7:30. Oh, that takes time. Humbly serving in their place and in their position. Amen? Well, we didn't get very far on humility. We'll try to finish it tonight. Amen? Don't ever take for granted what you have. Humility, we'll end with this one, and I'll pick up tonight. Humility will admit mistakes. A humble servant of Jesus Christ will admit when we're wrong. Look at Proverbs 16:18. We all know this. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before... We say pride goeth before a fall. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Don't ever be so proud that you can't admit that you're wrong or that you made a mistake, that you missed it. You know, we have all come short. We have all come short. Oh, but God's grace, His mercy, His ability, His enabling power. And we are forgiven. We are all forgiven. So when we make a mistake, then let's just pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. Let's admit it. Don't try to keep it a secret. Let's admit it and go on. Ask God to forgive us, and He forgives us, and He forgets it. Amen?